As we just got done with our meeting with Brother Taylor Ladd on being evangelistic and talking to others, every night after he would give a sermon, Taylor and I would be able to talk about some things that we thought about trying to talk to others. And in a lot of those conversations, we had some just down-to-earth conversations about how hard it is to talk to others. And he got me thinking on a lot of different things. And so I put together this sermon based off of talking to others and just some other thoughts that he shared with me about being evangelistic. And there's so many lessons that I think we can learn about the whole book of Jonah, different things that Jonah does throughout his lifetime in the name of the Lord and trying to be a soul winner for God. When I say turn to the book of Jonah, the first thing that comes to many of our minds is the story of Jonah being swallowed up by the great fish. But one thing I want us to be able to take from this lesson tonight is be able to think about the character of Jonah and how he was as a person and take what we know about Jonah and apply that to our lives to be more evangelistic. Look over in Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah was sent to Nineveh, a great major city in the Assyrian Empire, to preach God's word to the lost people there. Well, that's weird, because we're commanded to do the exact same thing that Jonah was: preach God's word to all of those that are lost in the world today. We may not have been directly asked by God, but he has said it many times in the New Testament that we are to preach his word to people that are lost today. Let's read in verse 3 now. "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah tried to get away from the Lord. Well, I don't really want to go save any souls in Nineveh right now, so I'm going to try and run away from the Lord. It's the mindset that he has here. He just fled to Tarshish. He was constantly angry and grumbling. There is only one time in the whole book of Jonah that it talks about Jonah being happy and being content. That's maybe why Jonah isn't one of the most popular Bible characters in the Bible. If you ask somebody who their favorite Bible character is, not very many people say Jonah. We don't see very many things that he does right the first time. He has to be told and corrected many times throughout the whole book, and has never seemed to be a very happy person from what we read. And then, as it says at the end of verse 3, he ran away. He didn't feel like facing his problems now. He wanted to face them later. It was just not a convenient time for Jonah. And he didn't want to stand up for God against the mighty people of Nineveh. Let's continue reading down through verse 11. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they drew the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is the occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. The men on aboard the ship were now debating, "Great, what are we going to do? God has obviously upset at this man, so what option do we have? Should we throw this man overboard?" Let's continue reading in verse 12. "And then he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, and the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." By far, this is probably the most well-known part of the story, where he then spends 3 days and three nights trapped inside the belly, in the belly of the fish. Later on in chapter 2, Jonah prays that God may watch over him, and if he does so, that he will pay what he has vowed to do. In verse 10 of chapter 2, he has been spat up onto dry land. Let's stop and think about what's going through Jonah's mind at this point. Days ago, he was asked to go and preach God's word to the lost people of Nineveh, but instead he went and tried to run away from the Lord, only to be thrown overboard and swallowed up by a great fish. Now he is on dry land after all this has happened, and you have to think that he was probably humbled by that experience. After trying to run away from God and seeing how powerful God is, that you cannot run away from God. Now let's see what God says to Jonah a second time. Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh a second time, and he did as he was told for once. And when he did, there were no problems when he listened to God." Let us continue reading on in verse 4. Verse 4 of chapter 3. "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day of his walk. Then he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by a decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will return and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?' Then God saw their works and that they turned away from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Just like that, the people of Nineveh, even such a wicked city like Nineveh, was able to change from their evil ways. God would spare the people of Nineveh from changing from their evil ways. Sometimes I think that we can have the same attitude as Jonah, where we think people are just too wicked and they're not going to change from their ways. That was one thing that Taylor and I constantly talked about, how it's hard to talk to people at school because you just don't think that they're going to care. What's the point of talking to that kid? You know he does drugs. You know he smokes. you know, he drinks. They're not going to care about God. But Jonah has that mindset, and he didn't want to preach to the people of Nineveh. They were such a wicked city. He didn't think that they were going to turn from their ways. But as we learned here, that they did change from their ways. And for that, God was able to spare them. And we have to be able to do the same, because the famous phrase, "Don't judge a book by its cover," couldn't be any truer. We can't judge people for God. We have to just do our part and tell them about God, and then leave the judging part up to God. That's what He's there for. He knows their hearts. We just have to do our part and sow the seed and tell them about God and try and be a soul winner. Let's read the first 11 verses in chapter Jonah. The whole chapter of Jonah. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' Then the Lord said, 'It is right for you to be angry.' So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant." And that is the only time in the whole book of Jonah that it says that Jonah is happy or is content, right there at the end of verse 6, where it says, "So Jonah was very grateful for the plant." Only time in the whole book. Let's continue reading in verse 7. "But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint, and he wished for death himself, and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' Then God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' And he said, 'Is it right for me to be angry even to death?' But the Lord said, 'You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which more than 120,000 persons cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?'" God prepared that plant. God prepared the worm. God prepared the east wind. God prepared all of this, and it all happened because God made it so. God was the reason that Jonah had that plant in the first place. And Jonah forgot about that. He forgot that God was the one that supplied him with that plant for shade. He wasn't thankful for it at all. It says he was grateful for it, but he didn't give thanks to God for it. He just expected it to happen. God showed him so much patience. And then when God delivered that patience and he showed his mercy on the people of Nineveh, it made Jonah angry. He sort of pouts about it and complains to God, "Why? Why do you do this?" When God showed mercy on others, it made Jonah mad. Jonah deserved nothing, but God took away that which was given to him. There is something else that we can take away from this chapter and from this whole book, that we don't deserve any of this. God has so richly provided each one of us, and also how widespread the mercy of God is, how he was able to save the whole people of Nineveh from their wicked ways because they changed from their evil ways. Why not use this as a method to be evangelistic to others? Show them about the mercy of God and how much he does for each and every one of us, how big of a part he plays in our lives, and how much he richly provides each one of us. That's why we have to be evangelistic, teaching others that may be lost, those who seem to be too wicked to be saved, or those that we think can maybe be a lost cause. Nineveh was wicked, and they were still able to change and see the error of their way. important to never doubt how powerful God is. Never doubt what God is able to do for others. Jonah didn't show any grace on Nineveh. When God showed so much grace to Jonah, though, he showed so much patience in dealing with Jonah, even though he tried to run away from him. But when God showed his grace and mercy to others, instead, Jonah pouted and whined to God about that. Sometimes we do the same thing, hiding from others and not proclaiming his word. Then when we see others being saved, maybe we're not as happy as we should be. We see others that are come forward and that, and sometimes maybe we get angry, but just for wrong reasons, and it doesn't make sense. Maybe we have a little bit of Jonah in us, and we didn't really know it. Sometimes we keep quiet when we should be shouting out about how great of a God we truly serve. It is our duty to serve God and deliver his word to the lost people, no matter how hard it may be. I mean, look at Jonah. Nineveh was a scary place. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Probably not the best place for a Hebrew to go walking around at that time. It would be scary talking to those type of people, and it can be in the world today. I know at school, when I come up to talk to somebody, the first thing that comes to my mind isn't to start a conversation about church or about God. It's just not something that comes to my mind right off the bat. But maybe it should be. Trying to start conversations with other people that, you know, give them a chance. Try and talk about God. See if they're interested about God. We still have to do our part in just beginning to talk to others. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We have to do our part and plant the seed within the hearts of people. Water them and check up on them, nurture them, and teach them about the Lord, and then let God have the increase. Hardly be planting the seed to others if we're always afraid and never talk to them about God. We just have to start sometimes by talking to that first person. As I've mentioned before, I have a job at Pizza Hut, and one thing that you have to do there, as my job, is answer the telephone. And I've been working there probably about close to 10 times, and I remember those first couple of times, a phone would ring, and I would find the lamest excuse to not answer a phone. I would have a scratch, or my shoe would be untied, so I'd just go away from the phone. I would do anything to just not answer that phone, because I didn't want to talk to those people. I mean, I don't know who was on the other end. But once I answered that first phone, I realized those people just wanted to order pizza. They didn't care who was on the other end. And it was a whole lot easier because they just wanted to order their pizza and get out of there. And now, last night, I answered a ton of phones, and I didn't even think twice about answering it. But the same aspect can be in our lives, talking to people. It's so hard to just talk to that first person. You don't know what to say at first. You don't know exactly how they're going to react. But once you do it that first time, you can only learn after that. And the more and more people that we talk to about God, the easier it gets. And we know things to say to certain people, and we know things maybe not to say. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. I have the wrong verse here. I just pulled a Mr. Jeff. Well, anyway, the verse I was looking for talked about how God wants all of us to be saved, and how God wants us to be saved, and that he cares about each and every one of us. really bothering me why I cannot.
2 Peter 3:9.
Okay, that's it. 2 Peter 3:9. Wrote down the wrong verse. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, that was really bothering me. Yes, God wants us all to be saved, but if there is nobody out there teaching his word and preaching, how are people going to be saved? Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and starting in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Somebody has to be out there preaching. Without it, how are people going to be able to be saved? Take out your songbooks and look at song number 799. Song number 799. I just want us to take a second and look at some of the lyrics to this song. Starting in verse 1, I'll just read through these. When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if anyone there should cry in the deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Verse 2, oh, let us spread the word wherever it may be heard. Help groping souls to see the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. Verse 3. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry. You never mentioned him to me. And now the chorus. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by night. You met me day by day and knew I was astray. You never mentioned him to me. Powerful lyrics in that song. How sad would you feel up above on Judgment Day, seeing somebody cry out to you, why? Why, PJ? Why? You knew I was astray, but yet you never told me. You never told me anything. You never told me about Jesus. I didn't know you were a Christian. I didn't know you went to church. How sad would that be if that happened to you? Those coworkers, friends, maybe even a family member. Those people that we see every day, but yet we don't tell them anything about God. Jonah tried to avoid speaking to the people of Nineveh, but yet once he did, they were able to turn from their ways. That's why we always have to teach God's word to other people. Because we never know who is going to turn and follow God. Maybe it will be the person you least expect it to be. Remember that God wants us to be saved. But if there is no one who is going to teach others about him, how can lost be saved? Those are just some of the things that I learned from Brother Taylor Ladd being here. We talked a lot about different things and a lot from the book of Jonah, about being evangelistic and talking to others. But now at this time, we have that maybe you haven't been living as you know you should, and you've been slipping in daily lives and falling into sin. You can come forward and repent of those sins. Or if you would like to become a son of God and follow in his way, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the songs like this.